Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lockdown.
Yeah, it's a difficult time, of course, for the UK, as is for many other countries around the world. Perhaps no surprise, actually, when you look at the numbers. If you look at the number of new cases in the past 24 hours, just under 59,000. That's an increase of more than 50% on the seven-day average. There were 407 deaths in the past 24 hours. That's up by a fifth in the past 7 days. If you look at the numbers of people in hospital, I think it was at 26,000. 600, something around that sort of number. That's a rise of more than 30% on the previous week. Gives you an idea of where we are, and it's 40% above the peak that we saw back in April. So perhaps no surprise that Boris Johnson yesterday, the UK government, announcing a significant stricter restrictions for the UK. Stay at home except for essential shopping, exercise, or to seek medical help or care for someone vulnerable. Schools to close. Now, this is a bit of a difficult one for me because Henry, who's 6, cannot go to school. Amelia, who's 4, can go to school. So you have to make a little bit of a decision about that, I suppose. But it's going to be a difficult few weeks. There's no doubt about that. But of course, our problems are much less than those who've had someone who's obviously been infected by it or has lost someone because of it or is struggling with an abusive relationship or all those types of other things. So you think yourself lucky in many ways. So let's focus on that.
Yeah, we do, of course, feel for everybody who is suffering, but it doesn't really affect you because you haven't been out for months anyway, have you?
I haven't been out for months. Well, it certainly feels like that. I was thinking you come to the middle of March, which is not that far away, and it would have been a year working from home, which is quite incredible when you think you sort of left the office thinking, okay, 4, maybe 6 weeks and we'll be back into it, but it's been certainly longer than that.
Yeah, you know, apart from the fact you won't be able to get alcohol takeaways, which might affect you a little bit. You know, you had to get down the cash and carry and stock up on Blue Nun before it's too late.
I think that is South Africa where they've banned alcohol. I mean, that would cause absolute mayhem, to be honest, in the UK. I couldn't even imagine what that would do to spirits here. So, we wait to see how it all plays out. But it's, as I say, a difficult few weeks. In some ways, you feel, I mean, you look at China. I mean, if we'd been really, really aggressive in terms of the measures, sort of November, December, one feels we probably would have been in better shape than we are today.
Yeah, also New Zealand, Australia and South Korea, they've all sort of done a lot better than the European countries have done on sort of curbing the virus.
Look at Melbourne, how aggressive they were in terms of its restrictions, and I think, you do see that sort of paying off. As always, of course, it's somewhat of a balance between understanding what it means to the economy, etc. as well.
Yeah, but it's a real hammer blow again to the economy, just as we were hoping that so the vaccines were going to be widely distributed and we'd be getting back to some kind of normality. It ain't going to happen quickly.
That's what I mean, this on and off, on again, off again type scenario, I think has been incredibly disruptive. You only have to look at the schools. Primary schools went back for a single day yesterday. Schools spent a lot of time probably preparing the protocols around the new COVID protocols to get them in place, only to actually their efforts would have been much better sort of gearing themselves up for online learning over the course of the past few weeks. So it's been somewhat of a difficult process.
Yeah, well, I feel we're not far behind you. I mean, we're on a sort of a strict curfew at the moment from 6 p.m. until 6 a.m. the next morning. But cases are still rising rapidly in this part of the world. So, you know, I fear we're going to end up in a lockdown sooner rather than later.
But we do know that vaccine bright horizon is not too far away. So perhaps we should continue to focus on that and do our best to help the situation where we can.
Real money spinning for Big Pharma, isn't it, the vaccine?
Some money. Whether it's going to be the real big money spinner is another question. Some pharmaceutical companies have decided to be perhaps a little bit more generous than others in terms of offering it at the cost price, for example, and the way in which it's distributed. So, yes, there will be more money flowing into pharmaceuticals. It's a sector of healthcare that's done well. And actually, I think even before COVID-19, we thought it was a sector that would do well for a range of reasons, demographic reasons, etc. So, certainly they will continue to do so. And inevitably, there'll be more investment, I think, into medical provision in the future.
Yeah, I'm not just talking about this year. I'm talking about in future years, because it does appear likely we're going to need a vaccine every year. And with the virus mutating, the vaccine's going to have to be tweaked as well. So that's sort of even more money, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's increased costs for economies and for businesses, but we should be thankful that science is able to come up with a solution to the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's have a look at the markets. Pretty good day on the European bourses yesterday, not so good on Wall Street.
Yeah, somewhat of a mixed performance. European, UK stocks advanced, helped by optimism over the vaccine rollout, M&A activity, and economic data actually showed euro area manufacturing grew its fastest pace in more than 2.5 years in December. Although stocks traded off the session highs, stock 600 closed up 0.7%. FTSE 100 closed up 1.7%. Remember, it's a really poor performer during the course of last year, but it was up 3.1% during the course of the day, so well off the session highs there. On Wall Street, mood certainly was more pessimistic. Virus, as we know, has been spiking. A little bit of nervousness ahead of the Georgia Senate runoff election as well. S&P 500, NASDAQ was down 1.5%. Should filter through to a weaker start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 14 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 42 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 18 points.
Yeah, there's a lot riding on these Georgia runoffs. I mean, the latest polling I've seen puts the Democrats ahead, but it's far from established what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This Senate runoff election is because candidates failed to achieve the required 50% majority in the November election. The result will determine the balance of power in the Senate and will directly impact President Biden's ability to implement his domestic agenda, cabinet appointments, and Supreme Court nominations. To remind you, Republicans have controlled the Senate since 2014. Republicans currently have 50 of the 100 seats. If Democrats were to take the remaining two seats, it would be a tie, and the Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris would have the casting vote. Who's going to win? As you say, difficult to call at this stage. A Democrat has not won a Senate seat in Georgia since 2000, but Biden won the state for the Democrats in November for the first time in almost 30 years. Polling data suggests both seats are incredibly tight. Very difficult, actually, to factor in, I suppose, the election hangover effect and what that means for voters there. We may not, of course, know the winner of that election today. It may take a few days for those votes to be counted.
Recount.
And the lawyers will be doing very well once again, one would suspect.
Yeah, but even if the Democrats do win both those Senate seats and obtain a very slim majority with Vice President Kamala Harris having the deciding vote, it doesn't clear the way for Joe Biden's legislation, because you need a kind of supermajority in the Senate to get stuff through, don't you?
Well, they would have, of course, the House of Representatives as well, so it would put them in a relatively strong position. That doesn't mean, of course, that they'll be able to push through whatever they like. You have some of the more moderates in there looking to try and balance things out. So I don't think it would be an easier ride, but it'd certainly make it much, much easier than if you would see a Republicans having a significant control of the Senate.
OK, and quickly, a massive merger in the automotive industry.
Yeah, this is between Fiat Chrysler and PSA, which is, of course, Peugeot Citroën, moving towards getting the deal done that's been more than 2 years in the making. PSA and Fiat Chrysler's shareholders have approved a merger that will form this Stellantis, I think it's called, the world's fourth largest automaker. Scale has been increasingly important in the global car industry as manufacturers meet the challenges of electrification, automation, and, of course, intense competition. By pooling product development along with manufacturing and purchasing, the merger is forecast to generate €5 billion of synergies. If you look at the outlook for the company, Fiat PSA deal, they'll be strong in terms of trucks and SUVs. You've got Ram and the Jeep divisions of Fiat Chrysler there. Peugeot Citroën strong in Europe, but limited exposure to the luxury market or indeed to China, which is the world's largest car market.
Okay, foreign exchanges, pound under pressure again.
Has been coming under a little bit of pressure, back to 1.36 against the dollar. Euro dollar coming in at 1.22.5. Going to get just under €1.11 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Enjoy looking after the kids.
Thank you very much. Homeschooling, here we come.
Hank Potts and Barclays.